Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. You are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, which means you are a member of the Entree Architect community. Join us on Facebook at the Entree Architect Community Facebook group. It's the most interactive, most supportive, and encouraging, the most positive place on the internet for small firms. Come join us. It's free at entrearchitect.com/group. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 232. And this week I'm speaking with Demetrius Lynch of Spaces Podcast, and we're talking about sharing your story of architecture. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, ARCAD, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM, specifications, and much more at arcat.com. FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work that you love. And Gusto. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy to get things right. Demetrius Lynch, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
It's great having you here. Demetrius Lynch is an architecture graduate from California State Polytechnic University in Pomona. He's a licensed architect in the state of California. He's practiced both domestically and internationally in various types of architecture, but with a main focus on residential. He's LEED and WELL accredited professional. Well, I haven't heard of WELL, but WELL denotes expertise and a commitment to advancing human health and wellness in buildings and communities. Demetrius recently started a podcast, which is why he's here. I want to talk about that. The podcast is called Spaces Podcast, which aims to promote the greater building industry to the public through the lens of examining the effects of societal changes on the design and construction of spaces throughout history and into the future. So this is a real architecture podcast talking about architecture, unlike this podcast that talks mostly about business and everything except architecture to architects. So Demetrius, I love having you here. This is going to be a great conversation. I told our listeners a little bit about you, but I want you to sort of fill in the blanks. Tell us your origin story. Go back to where you discovered architecture, what inspired you on this path, and give us that story to where you find yourself today.
Yeah. So again, thank you very much for the intro and for having me on. Kind of going back, it's a little bit of an interesting story. We as a kid, I grew up in Compton, California. Are you familiar with Compton by chance?
Yeah, I know Compton. Yep.
So for any of your listeners that may not be aware, it's a urban, I guess, considered now urban city in southern Los Angeles County, California. And it basically became kind of prominently known amongst the growth of a rap group called NWA, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, that represented Compton. And it became sort of iconic in kind of the gang rap culture, gang activity, crime, things like that. So I was born there, and born in 1983, right in the middle of where a lot of this was kind of, the stuff that they were talking about was kind of coming up in Compton. So I became, you know, initially subconsciously aware of the effect of your environment, your built environment on people. And as I grew up, I became kind of more hyper aware of that situation and that relationship. But kind of simultaneously, as most of us would attest to, I was very creative, very into making things. My mom taught me how to draw, playing with Legos. She let me draw on the walls in my room, things like that. So I was always interested in making things. And I kind of started to go down a path of what I thought would be illustration. So comic books, cartoons, whatnot. But I went to a school called Marcus Garvey, which is in Los Angeles as well. And that school was actually a private school that was geared towards a predominantly African-American attendees. And the school was basically geared towards teaching the students about Black history, as well as the normal curriculum. So we learned Swahili, African history, and everything else under sun. I think we had like 16 subjects that we would go through over a semester. So in within that curriculum, I think around third grade, we started to focus in on Egypt and the history of Egypt and the mythology. So within that course, they introduced Imhotep, who was actually considered one of the first named architects and in some circles considered a god of architecture. We learned about pyramids and specifically what he was considered to attribute to contribute was the step pyramid. And from that point, that was my first introduction to architecture. And I was simultaneously learning or really enjoying math. And someone at some point told me basically drawing and math adds up to architecture.
Right. Creativity plus math equals architecture.
Exactly. So in combination with this kind of mythical figure of Imhotep, it just seemed like a really cool path to take. So as far back as I can remember, architecture had always been a direction for me. Ended up at Cal Poly Pomona, had kind of a up and down school experience or educational experience there. Because I kind of spread myself a little thin, I was involved in the Greek system, which I don't regret at all. It really helped me come out of my shell a little bit more, helped develop my leadership skills and the ability to kind of do a lot of different things. Finally graduated right in the middle of the economic downturn, but I was able to find work, but shortly after got laid off. Ended up working at a sporting goods store part-time while doing a little bit of architecture where I could get it, and then bounced around over the next few years of my career with a firm that was residential-based, then did a year of retail focus, and then another firm that was residential-based, and finally got to a point where I decided that, you know, I wanted to take a crack at doing my own thing. So I'm in the process of starting my own firm right now. haven't officially launched, but that's in the works, and simultaneously developing and kind of growing the podcast.
That's for one, congratulations on launching the new firm. That's a big step and a difficult thing to do. So I hope you're part of the Entree Architect community, because those guys over there will definitely help you and answer any questions you might have. That's a community. That's a Facebook group that we have, 3,000 members, all architects, all small firm architects. So definitely make sure you're over there. Let's talk about the podcast. What was sort of the inspiration? Why? I mean, you're in the middle of launching an architecture firm, which is hard enough. You know, it's going to take a tremendous amount of time and energy. You want to launch a podcast in the middle of that as well, which also takes a lot of time and energy. So what's the inspiration behind the podcast?
So over my career, I've kind of had this experience where in my mind, I felt the architecture and the greater building industry are, not to sound dramatic, but kind of under fire to some extent. And I think we need to kind of shake things up. And part of that, my perception is that the greater public understands, or the greater public has an appreciation for architecture and buildings, but they don't understand what goes into it and how much is calculated and perceived and the effects of a good space or a bad space. And then on the other front is the people that are in the building industry, not just architects, but others in the industry are not, they understand what architects do, but there's an undervaluation of what architects can bring to the table. So the goal of the podcast, there's sort of three parts. One is to promote the building industry to the general public. So give them a historical background and a relationship to the way that society, the changes in society can mold how spaces are designed, and vice versa. Spaces can have an effect on society. Secondly, highlighting those changes that have occurred over over history and into the future. And then the last part of it is creating sort of a collaborative environment for different disciplines of the building industry to have a conversation about different things. So our podcast is set up where we have myself as the architect. We have a gentleman that's a kind of on the construction side who does operations and business development. We initially started with a woman that was a economic specialist focused specifically on millennials, but she's since left the show to kind of pursue and focus more more things with her actual job. And then we have a new person that just stepped in, a woman that is on the builder developer side. She's the vice president of land acquisition. So we kind of have this three-headed monster that approaches or studies and gives their opinions on the development of a specific project type. And we're all millennials, so we kind of have that perspective of what we're seeing in our everyday lives and how those things are affecting spaces.
It's a very interesting show, and also just as an aside, very well produced. Sounds really good. You have music throughout the whole thing. It's very well done. It sounds a lot like the top podcasts that are out there, 99% Invisible and that type of podcast. It's you're doing a great job with the production of it, and the topics are really interesting. So you sort of take a building type, maybe schools, or I saw prisons was one of them. How do you typically go about doing that? Do you sort of give some history about it and then talk about what's the current situation?
Exactly. So far I think we're on our 16th episode or something like that. We launched in December of last year. And we're usually putting them out every 2 weeks, roughly. And topics that we've covered so far have been offsite construction, smart cities. We talked a little bit about company culture, and we brought in the CEO of Wear Malcolm, and he discussed kind of company culture and then office design. Talked about specifically millennials on spaces, or their effect on spaces. A couple other big ones that we brought in were the executive director of an organization called Pathways of Hope. And we talked about homelessness. Pathways of Hope is an organization that supplies food and shelter for homeless individuals in Orange County. And another one to mention was the host of the DIY Network shows Lawn and Order and I Hate My Yard, Sarah Bendrick. She's a landscape designer and contractor. She joined us to talk about home renovation. I talked myself out of your original question.
No, but that's basically, we were talking about topics. And so,
yeah. So that's kind of the range of, we're all over the place. The show structure, I think that's where you were going.
Yeah.
The show structure is we'll have a particular project type or topic. We give a historical reference, kind of from as far back as we can track up to now. And then we have an open discussion about the historical content, and then discuss future items and things that are going on right now, all again from the prism of our individual specialized backgrounds. And then the other, thing or part of the show is as you hear some nonsense from between the three of us, things that are going on in our lives. I'll drop in a few things about starting up my own firm and the issues that I run into and wins that I get here and there. So it's a little bit different because it's not so technical that the average person that's not in the industry will be lost listening to it. It's pretty easy to listen to, pretty entertaining, I think. We got some characters on the show, and good content.
Yeah, I listened to the prisons episode, and I found it really interesting to sort of understand some of the history and the background on a topic like that, and then hear you guys discuss it in terms of today and society and how it's affecting society. I could see how that could go on forever. You can just take a topic and how architecture affects society and how society affects architecture. And from a point of view of millennials, the podcast is produced by millennials, and so it's interesting also to see and hear the points of view of young architects and younger people who are sort of grown up in the computer age. I mean, because from my age, I'm 48 years old. I remember when there were no computers, yeah. and then. How computers came, and now the computers are everywhere, and now it became mobile, and now and then we have social media, and how all of that sort of affects our society. But you've basically lived in a world that it was always there, that's part of a different way of thinking, and so it'll be interesting to hear your points of view on different topics in terms of from a point of view of an architect and other people in the building industry.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the episodes we're going to do in the future is technological advancements that have affected and are affecting and will affect our industry, both on the construction and architectural side. There's a lot of apps coming out now that are making things easier, being able to sketch live in a space. A lot of cool things, using Oculus, for example, for construction, where you can basically lay out a floor plan and quickly just put the stud where it's shown on your camera or your glasses. So a lot of cool things going on.
In my last episode, I spoke with Rachel Prinz, who is a storyteller, essentially. She's an architect, trained architect. She's doing marketing and branding for architecture. She's sort of telling the story of architecture. She has a for-profit firm as well as a nonprofit doing storytelling, essentially telling the story of architecture. And we were talking about how important it is for architects to each one of us to do our part in telling the story of architecture, of what architects do and who we are and what we do. And I see that is exactly what you're doing with Spaces Podcast, is that you're out there telling the story of architecture, the history of architecture, the current status stage, you know, status of architecture, as well as what's happening in your own personal lives as architects and professionals in the building industry. Hey, let's take a quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect. We can't be doing this without them. So let's say thank you to Arcat, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Summer is for being outdoors and going on vacation, right? Not spending extra hours in the office. Well, luckily, our friends at Arcat can help. No matter where you are, maybe on a sandy beach or in a vacation home, or maybe you're working from home on your staycation, well, Arcat has a great tool to help you stay connected with colleagues and clients. Arcat's free service, Charette, allows you to create projects, collaborate, assign tasks, share your thoughts, or simply create a portfolio to promote your firm for free. It's absolutely free. Just like everything at Arcat, it's free. Just go to entrearchitect.com/Arcat and click on the Charette button right up at the top of the page. That's entrearchitect.com/ARCAT. Arcat. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. And getting started with FreshBooks is ridiculously easy. Most people send their first invoice seconds after starting their free trial. The same goes for tracking time, managing expenses, collaborating with contractors, and viewing financial reports. Fast, easy, maybe even life-changing. And if you need help at any time, free award-winning customer service is just a phone call or an email away. And if you have ever had second thoughts, don't worry. On top of our free trial for Entree Architect listeners, you get a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you don't ever have to worry about choosing FreshBooks. So give FreshBooks a try. It's free for 30 days. Just visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks and then let them know that we sent you by sharing Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks to access your free 30-day trial today. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially when you're a small business. You don't have time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations, and old-school payroll providers just aren't built for the way that we work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy for you to get it right. No longer do you have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and great service for your team. And to help support the show, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited-time deal. Sign up today and you'll get 3 months free. Once you run a first payroll, 3 months free. Just go to entrearchitect.com/gusto. That is entrearchitect.com/gusto, G-U-S-T-O, and claim your free 3 months of payroll processing today. Arcat, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Was that the intention, to sort of tell the story of architecture, or is it more sort of focused on you guys yourselves?
Exactly. It's about telling the story of architecture, and this has been evolving and becoming more and more clear you know, over the recent months as we've continued to go on. So the first episodes don't sound like the newest episodes. It's definitely about telling that story and making it sort of palatable to the greater public, those that aren't involved in the industry on a day-to-day basis, to begin to understand and appreciate what we do and all the parts that go into it. Because it's a massive industry that has a huge effect on everyone. That stat, we spend, 90-some percent of our time indoors. So we want to make a greater platform, because I think as architects, as the building industry, we talk to ourselves a lot. And I think we need to, like you mentioned, and your guests, we need to broaden that platform to promote to everyone, all of our users, and make it understandable to, you know, anyone that may not be in the industry, so they can develop that appreciation and understand why it's important and why they need to contribute to that process.
Is any part of the strategy from a business point of view with your own firm, do you imagine that as the popularity of the podcast grows, that people will sort of learn who you are and what you do and may come to you for services?
Yes, that is definitely a part of it. It's not necessarily something that I'm, you know.
Yeah, it's not the primary driver.
Exactly. It's not the primary driver, but it is a benefit to doing it as the show grows. If I can get to a point where I am known and can pick and choose the work that I get, that would be a great place to be in. But it's not the primary driver.
Yeah. But I think it's something that many of us can do. You know, podcasts are hard, so I wouldn't recommend that everybody go out and start a podcast. But there are many different platforms that we can all choose from. And by putting yourself out there and telling your story in whichever format you can, whether it's writing in a blog or a video or a podcast or however you want to do it, getting on stage and speaking, however you do that, you do two things. One is you promote the profession. You tell the story of what we do and how we do it. But it also can become a platform for you to gain exposure. The more people who know you, who you are, and what you do, the more likely that it's going to become a marketing tool as well. And I recommend that you embrace that it doesn't need to be a driving force. It shouldn't be the primary goal, because then the authenticity of what you're doing is deteriorated. But I've also seen people sort of push that away, that they don't want to assume that it's going to bring business or that it takes away from what you're doing. And I think it should be both. I think it should be storytelling. It should be passion, your own personal passion, but it should also be a way to put yourself out there and your business out there so that you can grow a strong, thriving business. So then that sort of feeds, I talk about this all the time, that one feeds the other, that the passion should feed the business and then the business should then feed the passion, which will allow you to grow the passion. You'll have the time and the resources and the money to actually put more effort and more time into the passion when you have a successful business. So if you sort of combine the two with the intention from the beginning, that it will actually help support one another.
Yeah. Another part of it was that as I was kind of coming up in the industry and, you know, learning, I had this, or there's this goal to, it's a kind of a grand goal, to basically change the world through architecture. And as I grew up in this industry, it became more aware of the limitations of our industry, and the limitations of, you know, individuals. You can only do so much on your own. So the goal is to develop this platform and this brand that I can hopefully inspire more people to do things, to design better, to speak to each other with more respect between the different disciplines, to understand each other, to hopefully make this movement of change that I could not necessarily do on my own. I can only design so many buildings. So that was part of it as well in this development.
You had mentioned that you grew up in Compton. How much of your childhood and the background of growing up in Compton has sort of influenced what you're doing today?
I think a lot. It was a foundation of toughness, honestly. Every little bump that I encountered along the way, while it was a little bit of a setback, in thinking back to kind of where I came from, people that I saw, other routes that were possible, helped me get through those moments. I remember being in college and having negative $300 in my account, trying to figure out how am I going to buy materials to build my model for school, and literally breaking down in the middle of Home Depot and just crawling in a ball in the aisle and just trying to figure out how do I get through this. So toughness, I think, was one of the things that really kind of resonated and stuck with me as a foundation and got me through a lot of bumps along the road.
And you can go into this or not, but how did you do it? How did you, because there's probably not a lot of architects coming out of Compton. So how did you do that? How did you go from Compton to Spaces Podcast and launching your own architecture firm?
Family, honestly, my grandmother had me in the house, cleaning the house.
She just kept you out of trouble.
Yeah, just keep me busy.
Yeah.
Didn't allow me to have an opportunity to go down the wrong path. My friend always, to this day, my next door neighbor, pokes fun at me about how my grandmother would have the two of us on a Saturday cleaning the oil stains off of our driveway.
As a smart woman.
Picking weeds from our flower bed. Seeing my mom work three jobs to keep me in the private school, my dad, working nonstop. He's a firefighter. He worked nonstop, and they weren't together. So my dad lived in Riverside, and he would, at the time, Riverside was a really nice area where he was, so taking me outside of Compton every couple weeks for the weekend, taking us on trips when he could, allow me to have this greater perspective. So I think being able to see all those different things added this foundation and this motivation to kind of move forward and want to get out of where I was and have a vision of where that could be.
How much of it is obligation that you've come from this place? Your grandmother worked hard to keep you out of trouble. Your mom and dad worked their butts off to sort of get you to the right schools and put you in the right environment. Is there a sense of obligation that you have, that you sort of have to succeed?
A ton. Yeah. Cause I feel like there's been so much investment in me, that I have to deliver. I promised my grandmother that I would get her a car. so just things like
that.
So
you got work to do, man.
Yeah. So I feel like, there's a lot of obligation, to kind of pay it back, not only to my family, but to create, sort of a vision for others, because you don't have to be there, but you have to have an understanding of what's possible.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk about that, because I know there are people who are listening who have struggled to get to where they are and know people who are in the position of not knowing how to get out of that position. And so to learn from your story that, that grandma focused on keeping you busy, because if you were busy, you were going to stay out of trouble. you know, and people working hard to get you to where you are, and you having that sense of obligation and toughness and the sense that hard work is going to get me success, that that's what's going to get me out and into the profession that I want to be in, is grit and hard work, you know, and that's the secret. You know, people are looking for the secret to success. The secret to success is buckle down and work your butt off.
Yep.
And so it's great to hear your story. It's great to hear your voice on Spaces podcast. I look forward to following your journey with the profession. And if there's anything I can do to help you proceed with your podcast or your profession, absolutely reach out and let me know.
Great. Yeah, I'll send you an email with a list of questions.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Really, sincerely, I'm happy. That's my passion, is to help people get to the next step. So I'm happy to do that. And anybody else who's listening, don't hesitate to reach out to me with questions. I'm happy to answer them. All right, Demetrius, before we wrap up here, I have one final question for you. What is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
So it's not necessarily a one quick thing that you can do. It's sort of a process, but I would say commit to flexibility. Things rarely go the way that we plan them out exactly. So you have to be flexible along your journey. And what flexibility will do for you, it keeps you in the moment. So you're not necessarily bogged down by your past, whatever has happened to you in the past. You learn from it and let it go. And it doesn't make the future seem untouchable. So it keeps you in the moment because you have to navigate whatever situation comes towards you. And then that commitment to flexibility will ultimately turn anything that most people may consider failure, it turns it into an obstacle or just a minor setback for you. And you just have to get around it and figure out the new path to get to where you're ultimately trying to go. So I would say flexibility is the one thing that I would recommend everybody to adopt and commit to.
That's a great one. And sometimes that failure or that obstacle actually becomes an opportunity.
Yeah.
That at first you don't realize it because it's not what you had planned. And so it didn't work out the way you thought it would. But if you open up to the possibility that it actually is what it should be, then that flexibility allows you to see those opportunities that you may not have otherwise seen. Very good one. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
Demetrius, thank you for hanging out, telling your story. Thank you for what you're doing on Spaces Podcast. On the web, it's spacespodcast.com, and pretty much all throughout social media, it's Spaces Podcast. If you search it up, you'll find it, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Demetrius, is there anything you want to say before, or anything else you want to share before we wrap up here?
I just wanted to highlight a few upcoming episodes, and anyone that is interested in being a guest on our show, you can email us at hello@spacespodcast.com. And just highlighting a few episodes coming up, we have an amusement park episode. So we're cool. All over the place. We have a pretty fun amusement park episode coming up in the next week or so. Skyscrapers, Lead, and Well. So I know you mentioned you hadn't heard of Well.
Yeah.
But we're going to go into detail about those two and technological advancements. I mentioned that before, and we're going to try and cap off this year with hopefully, if we can pull it off, a remote recording of a brewery.
That sounds like fun. That's strategic. I could tell.
Yeah.
Very
It'll
cool.
It'll be a party to celebrate our first year.
Very cool. I have already subscribed, and after this podcast, I'm going to go back to episode one and download them all and listen to them all, because I'm looking forward to following your story, and I want to hear it from the beginning. So I'll do that as soon as we're done here, is go back to episode one. So Demetrius, thank you very much for joining us here and for sharing your knowledge here at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So there you go. Spaces Podcast. Go check it out. You can go find it at spacespodcast.com. Demetrius is going to be a successful guy. I can hear it in his voice. I love his podcast. Since recording that episode, I have listened to all of them. I'm all caught up. I'm just waiting. Actually, the amusement park episode is waiting on my podcast, on my podcast player. So I'm going to be listening to that soon. Really good. Really good. Lots of progress throughout the whole show from beginning to end. I love his voice. The calmness in his voice is fantastic for a podcast. So go check it out. I highly recommend it. He's working really hard on it. You'll see it in the edits. So definitely check it out at spacespodcast.com. This is episode 232. Would you please share that episode with a friend? Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Snapchat, email, however you want to do it, just share it. I really, really hope you can do that for me. That is the only thing I ask of you. It's entrearchitect.com/episode232. entrearchitect.com/episode232. And while you're at it, go check out my friends over at ArcaSpeak and Inside the Firm, two other great podcasts. So go check those out, ArcaSpeak Podcast and Inside the Firm Podcast. And go check out the Entree Architect community on Facebook. It is a private Facebook group on Facebook, obviously. It's free, and it is the most interactive, most supportive, and encouraging, the most positive place on the internet in the world, I would venture to say, for small firm architects. Come join us. It's free at entrearchitect.com/group. You will love it. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, share what you know. Thanks for listening, and have a fantastic week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand Podcast. where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.